Hello, this is the Hope Channel, and welcome to Higher Ground. I'm Barry Black. What really matters in life? I'll tell you one thing that really matters. Integrity. What is integrity, and why is it so important? Integrity matters. Come with me to Higher Ground. Hello, I'm Barry Black, and welcome to Higher Ground. Lord, lift me up, and I shall stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. We're talking today about integrity and why integrity matters. Perhaps the story that most of us think about when we think about integrity is the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel chapter 3. In Daniel 3, beginning with verse 16, we find these words, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But, says verse 18, if not, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the golden image which you have set up. Ladies and gentlemen, these young men knew that integrity matters. One of the most moving stories in all of literature is the story of Polonius and Laertes in Shakespeare's wonderful play, Hamlet. Laertes has won his father's permission to leave Denmark and head for France. There is a tug at the old man's heart as he sees the young man eager to be off, to try his wings, to challenge the future. His words are therefore wise with the wisdom of affection and experience. He says to his son, beware of entrance into a quarrel. Give every man your ears, but few your voice. He says to the boy, neither a borrower or a lender be. And then these beautiful words, take each man's censure, but reserve judgment for yourself. And this above all, to thine own self be true. Integrity is about being true to yourself. Daniel was true to himself. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were true to themselves. In fact, history is replete with the stories of heroes and heroines who knew that integrity matters. Why does it matter? It matters because it is the key to national greatness. Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And integrity is a part of righteousness. Integrity matters because it is a key to negotiation. Think of trying to negotiate with someone whom you do not trust. Think of trying to negotiate with someone whose promises are like ropes of sand. So integrity matters because it is the key to negotiation. Integrity matters because a well-lived life that honors God is a life characterized by integrity. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 in his Sermon on the Mount, "Let your light shine before people that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Integrity matters. And so, in our scripture lesson, we encounter three young men who decided to stand for right even though they were risking death. The king, Nebuchadnezzar, had erected an image on the plain of Dura. And he said, "When you hear the music, I want you to bow down to that image." You know, when you serve God, and when you live as you should, there will always be people watching you. And they won't necessarily be watching you in order to commend you for your integrity. The word got to the king. Three of the foreign young men whom you have given elevated positions did not bow when the music played. The king called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in. And he said, "Maybe you fellas didn't understand some of the vocabulary. After all, the Babylonian language is not your native tongue. I'll give you another chance." But these young men were determined. "O king, we are not careful how we answer you. Our God is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us. But if not, we still will not bow down to your image." Nebuchadnezzar was so angry, he had the furnace heated to even greater intensity. It was so hot that the soldiers who threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in, some of them were killed. And yet, because integrity matters, God intervened. He extricated these young men from their predicament. Nebuchadnezzar looked and said, "I thought we threw in three. Behold, I see four, and the fourth looks like the son of a god." Integrity matters. Integrity is discerning what is right, acting on what is right, and then being willing to speak about why you acted the way you did. Those three important aspects. Integrity is discerning what is right. You must first know what the right thing is. Many people don't know what the right thing is. Acting on it, having the courage to act on your belief, and then having the willingness to talk to others about why you believe what you believe. That is what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had. They knew that the commandments of God in the Decalogue declares, "You shall not bow down yourself to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God." Exodus chapter 20. They knew what was right, and they were willing to act on what was right. We will not bow. We would rather burn than bow. And then they were willing to talk about why they were willing to do that. "Our God is able," they said, "to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us. That is why we can risk our lives. But even if he doesn't, he has an eternity that he can take us to, and so we would rather burn than bow." Do you have that kind of integrity in your life? Do you know what is right? Are you willing to act on what is right? And then are you willing to share with others why you acted the way you did? Well, we've got some principles that will help you do that on the chalkboard. The first principle, as you can see right here, is to live as if you're being watched. Because that is exactly what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego discovered. And this is so important, I think I'll underline it. Live as if you are being watched. Okay? Because you are being watched. Someone is watching you. Remember Moses killed the Egyptian? The Bible says he looked to his left and his right and saw no one and slew the Egyptian and hit him in the sand. But someone saw. Moses should have looked up, but he didn't. Live as if you are being watched because you are being watched. Even if no human being sees you, there is a sovereign God who sees what you do and hears what you say. Benjamin Franklin once said, "I have made it a practice of my life to never do anything in private that would make me blush if it were made public." Are you living as if you are being watched? Can you pass the detective test? If someone was following you, attempting to see if you were getting into something unethical, would you pass the test? Never do anything in private that you would be ashamed of if it were made public. And then there is a second principle, a principle that can make all of the difference in your life, and that is prepare. You see it on the chalkboard, prepare to give a reason for what you believe. Prepare to give reasons. Remember, we said that a part of integrity is acting, discerning, acting, and then being willing to give reasons. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 says, "Sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready to give a reason for the hope that is within you with meekness and humility, with reverential awe." Do you have reasons for what you believe? Are you able to let people know why you stand for what you stand for? If someone says to you, "Why do you eat this way? Why do you dress this way? Why do you participate in these kinds of recreations?" Do you have reasons for why you live the way you live? The Bible says, "Be ready to give an answer for the hope that is within you with meekness and with fear." I love the story of David and Goliath. The teenager comes to the battlefield, the giant, 9 feet, 6 inches tall, is demanding that Israel sends a warrior to fight him. And when David volunteers to fight, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine," he says, "that he should cry out against the armies of the living God?" His older brother, Eliab, says, "I know the naughtiness of your heart. I know why you're here." And David says, "Is there not a cause?" He was ready to fight because there was a cause, and he gave the reason. "This uncircumcised Philistine has cried out against the armies of the living God." If we are going to be people of integrity, we need to be able to give reasons for why we are acting the way we do. And then there is a third principle here, so critical. Don't fear people. If Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were afraid of the king, if they were afraid of the people who were watching them, they probably would not have bowed, and they certainly would have surrendered to the king's request and not stood for what they believed, but they did not fear people. Jesus said we should not fear those who can destroy our bodies, but we should instead fear him who can destroy both body and soul. We must not be afraid of people. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to yield. In Acts chapter 5, Peter, who had once been very timid about Jesus, was preaching with great boldness. And the people said, "You need to stop preaching about this man you said was raised from the dead." And Peter responded, "We ought to obey God rather than man." In Acts 5:39, he was not going to be intimidated by people. There are so many folk who will try to intimidate you. And there are so many reasons, many times, we think we should not stand for right. It's not the politically correct thing to do. It's not the safe thing to do. But we must not fear people. When I was chief of chaplains for the Navy, we would many times be faced with ethical conundrums, right versus right dilemmas. Many times, the Navy Chaplain Corps was being sued, and because I was the head of the Chaplain Corps, I was named in the suit, so-and-so versus Rear Admiral Barry C. Black. My staff of 15 or 20 people would come in, and we would discuss the impending suit, and we would be looking at the pros and cons of taking different approaches, but inevitably, instead of being intimidated by the lawsuit, I would ask a simple question at the end of our deliberations: what is the right thing to do? You see, integrity is discerning what is right. What is the right thing to do? It's amazing. It's amazing how simple many of our ethical challenges become when we simply try to do the right thing without permitting people to intimidate us. And then there is a fourth and wonderful principle: refuse to compromise. Nebuchadnezzar was basically saying, "I'm going to give you all another chance. All you have to do is not bow the next time." And they refused to compromise. Their buddy Daniel was the same way. He refused to compromise. There's where acting on what you believe is so important. Remember, in Daniel chapter 6, Daniel was willing to go into a lion's den rather than pray to anyone but Jehovah. And I must confess, I would have been tempted to compromise. Remember, the king made a decree: you can't pray to anyone for a certain number of days. If I had been Daniel, I would have been tempted to say, "Well, I won't pray publicly, but I will pray in my heart." But Daniel said, "Oh, no, it's not my problem. It's God's problem, and he is all-powerful. I will continue to pray as I've always prayed, because integrity matters." And he went in, and Daniel 6:10 says, when he knew that the writing was signed, he went into his chamber as he always did. He opened up the shutter. He got on his knees, and the Bible says he prayed and gave thanks to God. Here was a man facing a lion's den, and yet he could still pray with thanksgiving. It reminds me of Philippians 4:6-7. Have no anxiety about anything, but pray about everything with thanksgiving. And the peace of God that passes understanding will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Daniel refused to compromise. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to compromise. They would not deviate from the path of integrity. And then principle number five, so critically important, we've got to put our trust in God. He is the one who orders our steps. We must put our trust in Him and learn to trust Him even when we can't trace Him. Our God is able. Faith is not believing God will, but faith is believing God can. Pistis, the Greek word for faith. God can do this. And my friends, there is nothing that God can't do. Whatever you are going through, there is no situation that God cannot extricate you from. You must believe that God can. I was in a prayer meeting, and a lady, she was very tall, 5'11", and she was praying, and she was asking God to do certain things, and she got to a part in the prayer where she said, God, there's a man who has AIDS. Heal him. And my eyes came open. I had to look at a woman who had that kind of faith to believe that God can, that there is no disease He cannot heal, that there is no problem that He cannot solve. God can. And when we learn to trust this God, He will honor our trust. Because trust is just another way of saying, I have faith in the power and the ability of God to take care of me. And Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So we please Him with our faith. Without faith, Hebrews 11, 6, it is impossible to please God. For those who come to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. I think of Esther. In Esther chapter 4, she was in a predicament. Haman, her enemy, had arranged for her people, the Jewish people, to be slaughtered. And Esther was queen. The king didn't even know that she was a Jewess. Mordecai, her uncle, came to her and said, Esther, we need you to go before the king. And then I love what Mordecai said. He said, if you don't go, deliverance will come from another source, but you and your people will perish. And Esther said in verse 16 of Esther 4, you all fast and pray with me, and I will go in before the king. Now the law said, if you went in and the king had not extended a scepter, you could die. But she risked her life believing that God could take care of her. And she declared in Esther 4:16, if I perish, I perish. Oh, hallelujah. And then the final, if you're going to be that person of integrity, put the eternal before the temporal. Put eternity first. Our blessed Lord said in Mark chapter 8, what does it profit a man or woman to gain the whole world and lose his or her own soul? Eternity must come first. It must come first in terms of our preferences. When you have a decision to make, the question that you should ask if you are putting eternity first because integrity matters is, which choice will best glorify God? That is why Matthew 6, 33 says, seek first the kingdom of God. He must be first in terms of preference. He must be first in terms of time. Do you wait until the sun is about to set before you have your devotions? You're about to go to sleep. You don't need them now. Put eternity first in terms of your time. Start off your day talking to God. Put eternity first in terms of your intensity. What do you get excited about? Do you get excited about basketball? Do you get excited about sporting events? What do you get excited about? Well, whatever you feel intensity for, it should not be more intense than what you feel for the things of eternity, for integrity matters. And so, my friends, discern what is right, act on it, be willing to give a reason for why you are acting that way. Dare to be a Shadrach, Meshach, or Abednego. Dare to be an Esther. Dare to be a Daniel. Dare to have a purpose true. And dare to make it known. And one day, Jesus will come again. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you will be also. And because integrity mattered in your life, because you discerned what was right, and like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you acted on that truth, and you were not going to hide your light under a bushel, but you were willing to tell others why you believed, what you believed, and prepared to give reasons. You didn't fear people. You refused to compromise. You trusted in God. Eternity will be yours, and you will sing praises forever.